What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only. I am, of course, your humble host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Edar Zooming, coming to you here on April 26, 2024. That is a Friday for all of y'all keeping tab at home, baby. And it's about damn time we got to that Friday, because this has been one hell of a week. And we got a lot to wrap up from last night. We got NFL draft, Jets and Giants. We got ourselves, a little bit of Islanders. Eek. But we got to start one place, and that is Philadelphia, the city of quote-unquote brotherly love, where last night, unfortunately, the Knicks drop game 3, 125 to 114. To the Sixers here. The series now at 2-1, staying in Philadelphia for game 4 on Sunday. But that's really not the headline coming out of this game. The headline coming out of this game is, of course, the insane, insane behavior of Joel Embiid during that first half, where he was just running up and down the court, trying to start a fight, jumping knee first into Hartenstein's groin. I mean, punching, essentially, Dante DiVincenzo across the face. And then the coup de grace was just grabbing Mitchell Robinson's leg as Mitch was jumping up in the air and yanking it down, ultimately causing an injury to Mitchell Robinson. And what did Joel Embiid get for all of this insane behavior, for this just pathetic excuse of being a basketball player at the professional level? What does Joel Embiid get? He gets a pat on the back. He gets to go to the line 20-something times. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. He got a flagrant foul at one point. One flagrant foul for all of that BS that he was doing, for all of that BS that he was acting. And all he did was cry all game long, as he is committing foul after foul after foul after flagrant after tech after foul. This guy is a joke. Like, I'm sorry, he's just a joke. Like, he really is. I've been trying to have a lot of respect for Joel Embiid. I really, really have. And he is talented. He is able to put a beautiful touch on the ball. But the man is a joke. To go out there and bitch and moan to the referees after the type of game that they allowed you to have. If Joel Embiid isn't allowed to go to the line as much as he did last night, he only puts up maybe high 20s, maybe low 30s. He ended up putting up 50. And this guy's bitching and moaning, and he's walking around acting like his you-know-what don't stank after the game. And he's telling people, oh, I didn't want to hurt anybody with that play. I was just trying to not let him score. No, you weren't, you liar. Maybe you weren't trying to hurt him, but you were acting like a baby. You were acting like a little bitch because you weren't getting your way. And that's all you are, is a little bitch. Because every time something is going up, every time your loser team, and they are losers, because no winning team acts that way, your loser team with your loser head coach, anytime you guys get in trouble, all you do, Joel, is start committing technical fouls. All you start doing, Joel, is start committing flagrant fouls. And we can go through your history, we can go and look in the past, and we can see how many elbows you've thrown to people's heads, and we can see how many times you undercut guys on dunks, and we can see all this stuff, Joel. You're a dirty player. It's period, end of sentence. You're just lucky you got a jump shot. Otherwise, you'd be Dylan Brooks. Otherwise, you would be Draymond Green. But you're lucky. You're lucky. And you have a nice little fan base behind you that everything you do, they make an excuse for. That everything you do, they make an excuse for. Whether it be flopping yourself to the ground like an infant learning how to walk in order to draw a foul. Whether it be committing the most flagrant of flagrant fouls that you will ever see in the NBA. It doesn't matter because they have his back. They got your back, JoJo. You're the man, baby. Don't worry about it. Oh, who cares? You just tried to rip his ankle out of its socket. Who cares? Because you're Joel Embiid, baby, and you're the one who's always the underdog, baby. No. F you, Joel. F you. On the court. Off the court, I don't care. I really don't. I think he's probably a good guy. Seems like a good dad. On the court, F you. Off the court, we might be friends. I don't know. But on the court, you are so beyond dirty as a player. And the fact that you aren't about the smoke. Like, I think that's the best part. Is that you commit the foul on Mitch and all you're doing is standing there and just staring at everybody going, yeah, what? Yeah, what? You know what? You had Dante DiVincenzo in your face moving you backwards. That's what. That just shows me right there that you ain't about it, man. You're not about this life, but yet you try to act like a tough guy. But yet you try to act like you are. And it's pathetic. And then you injure dudes because you're throwing tizzy fits. I don't care if you didn't try to injure him. What you did was pathetic. That's like throwing a haymaker punch in the middle of a fully loaded crowd, shoulder-to-shoulder crowd. It's like throwing a haymaker punch and knocking somebody unconscious and going, I had no idea. I was just throwing my arm around. And it's like, what are you talking about, you idiot? Of course that was going to happen. So I really don't care to hear any of Joel Embiid's BS. And then I also got to sit there and listen to Nick Nurse at the end of the game. Being asked about the play with Mitchell Robinson and Joel Embiid and going, oh, I didn't get a chance to see that, with a smirk on his face. So this guy, essentially, with that remark, and again, everybody likes to play coy because it's 2024 and we can just say, oh, no, I didn't mean that. And we all have to go, oh, okay. No, what that says to me is that Nick Nurse sent his team out there with the intent of starting fights last night, with the intent of maybe not injuring guys, but bringing them down a level. Nick Nurse is a piece of trash. Nick Nurse is a bum. Nick Nurse is so, so, so lucky Masai Ujiri picked him to hand over a championship roster to. Nick Nurse is so lucky that Kevin Durant's Achilles blew out in that final. He is so lucky that that shot dropped for Kawhi Leonard versus the Sixers. He is so lucky because this man is one of the most overrated head coaches I've ever seen in my entire life. His only solution for games 1 and 2 was to come out and play quote-unquote physical basketball, which really was just foul the crap out of every single person on the Knicks and try to get them to fight you because you're sending Joel Embiid with running knees at dudes' balls. Like, it's honestly, it's insane. And this guy has the gumption to sit there after the game and to act like nothing happened after he was a crybaby. A crybaby after game 1 and 2. Both of them. Now he's going to sit there and act like a tough guy. Nick Nurse, you are a bitch. You are the worst type of human being in this world. You are part of what is wrong with our society as a whole. You're the dude who runs around crying about, oh, this is so unfair. Oh, this isn't right. Oh. And then as soon as you get on the other side of that call, you go, well, you know, that's just the way that things are. You're a joke, man. Your entire career is because of some other man setting it up for you. Your entire career is because you just happen to have the right guy. And you walk around acting like you actually deserve to be treated like a special coach. You walk around acting like your S don't stink. I mean, it really, really, really pisses me off when I see Nick Nurse sitting at the podium answering a question about his star player injuring another man on the court. And maybe he didn't want to injure him, but his intent on the move was purposeful. And he's sitting up there with a smirk on his face. The NBA needs to do something about this. They don't need to change the result of the game. I'm not asking them to go out there and, you know, do what, like, I'm not trying to be Nick Nurse here. I don't want this game to be reviewed. I don't want the result to be changed. I just want the league to look at Joel Embiid and let his ass know that if he acts like that again, if he acts like an infant, he's gone. He's suspended. He's out for the rest of the playoffs or whatever. Because what he did last night, Draymond Green would have got kicked out of a game for. Every single other player in the league outside of LeBron James would have been kicked out of that game for what Joel Embiid did. And Joel Embiid was allowed to finish that game. It is pathetic. It's a joke. And honestly, they should be ashamed of themselves. But that's not the only reason the Knicks lost. The Sixers got incredibly hot from the field. The Sixers got, 43 points in the third quarter. That was the difference right there. Outscoring them by 16. They end up winning by 11. I just got to be real. I don't feel bad about this game. Jalen Brunson bounced back just like I knew he would. Scoring 39, getting a double-double. I mean, I'm not concerned. I don't think Philly's going to hit 11 threes every third quarter or once every game. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that Philly has the capability to keep up their quote-unquote physicality. I don't think a guy like Kelly Oubre really wants to go out there and start fights with people, because I think Kelly Oubre is really just another crybaby on that roster, just another fake tough guy. And when fake tough guys try to act real tough, and they're not getting every benefit of the call because the NBA put in an edict that they need to make up for the previous game, well, we'll see exactly how good these 76ers are. The fake tough guy act was cute tonight. It really was. It was very cute. You know, and I would have appreciated it more if the team that was trying to pull it off wasn't the dirtiest team that you've ever seen play, with a head coach who's actually absolutely pathetic. And Tom Thibodeau went nuts in the postgame. He absolutely deserves to. Josh Hart called them out for what they did during the postgame. He absolutely had to. I'll tell you right now, the Sixers were crying when they were on their way home. The Sixers were crybabies, and all they were saying was how they should have won, how they should have went like this. Then they go out and they try to injure guys on the Knicks. That's what the Sixers do. All right. I know what the Knicks are going to do, because they're going to come out Sunday and they're going to smack the crap out of this team. That's exactly what they have to do, and that's exactly what they will do. I've been saying it. It's going to be a Knicks in 5 series. 2-1 right now, you sneak out game 4 and you come home and close it out in game 5. You got to show these dirty ass teams what they are. Not good. They ain't jack. And Joel Embiid, while he may be a great player, he's also one of the dirtiest there is in the league. And his ass is starting to get exposed for being a jerk, for being a jackass, for being a crybaby, for being a loser, for being a guy that when it's all said and done will have 0 rings on his fingers unless he wins one as the 12th man on a bench when he's 38 years old. That's if he can make it to play into 38 years old. Joel Embiid, you're a joke, buddy. You're a joke. You have some internet fans. That's very nice. But you just made a way hell of a lot more enemies. I fully expect the Knicks to come out and win on Sunday in Game 4. Get this series to 3-1. Head it back to the Garden. And when they get it back to the Garden, I expect them to take care of business. But I just had to go off a little bit on this fugazi, dirty, cheap joke of a franchise that is the Philadelphia 76ers. Because I never really had a disdain for them. But last night, that was it. That was it. That was my, all right, yeah, no, you guys are trash. You guys are a trash can organization with trash can players, with trash can coach. So that's what I think about the Sixers. That's how much respect I have for them. None. And how much respect I have for their fugazi fake MVP, who you can't seem to win anything of substance with. But everybody talks to me about how much he's the MVP. He's the MVP. How can he not be the MVP? Because his teams suck. And the Knicks will prove that by the end of this series as they send his ass home before another conference finals can happen. Oh, wait. He's never been to one. Ain't gonna happen this year, buddy. Ain't gonna happen this year either. About last night. Oof. Oof, I needed to change the topic off of that. I was getting a little too heated, but I had to let it all out. Sometimes you get frustrated here, you know what I mean? And you gotta just vent. And I appreciate you guys for listening. Hopefully that didn't sound like too much of a nut job going crazy, but sometimes that is what I am. And sometimes I can misjudge things and I can overrate things and, you know, maybe expect a little too much when I'm going into an event. And I think I might have expected a little too much from the NFL draft last night, from the locals at least. And for the most part, it was a very ho-hum. Ho-hum draft for both teams. The Giants at number 6 do not move up and get Drake May, although they were tied all day to Drake, and there was a thought that they really were into him and they were going to make it happen no matter what it took. They ultimately do not. They elect not to draft a quarterback at 6. They draft Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU, who I was praying to the dear gods that the New York Jets were going to be able to get if he would slip a little bit further down the draft. He does not. He goes 6 to the Giants. That's a big time move for the G-men. Daniel Jones finally has a receiver that I think he can trust. I mean, hopefully he can get it to him. That's going to be the biggest thing, and that's why this was such a good move for the Giants, because now it allows you to fully evaluate Daniel Jones with no excuses, no apologies, and when it's all said and done, you can make a move knowing that you gave the guy every shot possible to prove to you that he could be a starting quarterback in this league. If he doesn't, he doesn't, and you can move on. But this was the right move for both this season and the future of the team. Anytime you can get a receiver who could potentially be a consistent 1,000-yard guy, you have to bring that man in. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the Giants maybe could have traded down, but if they wanted Malik Nabers, they had to be there. You could not move out of that pick and expect Malik Nabers to be there at 8, 9, 10. He was gone. He was probably gone at 6, regardless of if the Giants took him or if they traded him somewhere else. But I think this is a smart move by Joe Shane. Good job by them to not go crazy and trade 3 or 4 first-rounders to move up and get Drake May. That would have been asinine. And we probably would be sitting here in a year or two saying to ourselves, why the hell did the Giants give that much up to move up to get Drake May? There's a chance that we're sitting here saying that. So, smart move by Joe Shane. Good one. And I think this is one of those right steps for the Giants. This is that moving in the right direction kind of a pick. Not just taking a quarterback because it's a glamour position and everybody needs a QB to win. No, you took the spot that you thought was the best player available. And also, he just happens to help your team a lot right off the bat. So, good job. And I love Malik Nabers. I think this kid is going to be a superstar. I just hope Daniel Jones can get him the ball so that he can have a really good rookie season. Now, with Malik Nabers off the board, the Jets go in and pick here at number 10. Oh, wait. No, they didn't. They traded back one spot with the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings step up to take J.J. McCarthy. And the Jets were able to steal a 4th and a 5th rounder from the Vikings for this. And in exchange for another late round pick from the Jets here. But I got to give Joe Douglas credit. This is a really nice little move. To move back one spot and get a 4th and a 5th in order to do so. Hats off to you, my man. And you still got your dude. Which I think is the biggest accomplishment of it all. And just for anybody that didn't pay attention, I realize I just didn't announce it yet. But the Jets select Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. A young man who is a left tackle. and is going to bring some stability to this offensive line for years to come. I've been watching him for a little while now. I've actually seen a lot of Penn State games, and this kid is going to grow, and he's going to be a really, really good player. And I think the best thing for him is that he doesn't have to come in and start right away, but if he has to play early on, he has the ability to step in and do so. I really like this pick. It's the smart pick. It's not the glamorous pick. Like, the Giants didn't go for the glamour of a quarterback. The Jets didn't go for the glamour of just any skill position player they could find. Although I do think Brian Thomas was the right fit for this receiving core, and I do think Brian Thomas would have been the right fit for this offense as a whole, drafting a left tackle is always a smart thing. And it's an even smarter thing when you have Tyron Smith starting on one side and Moses Morgan starting on the other. When you have two older tackles on your roster starting for you, and you have the opportunity to draft a transcendent tackle to be their backup for 1 year in the draft, and that 1 year is to win a Super Bowl, you have to bring that man in. And you know what? After this season, Tyron Smith, thank you for your services. Mr. Fashanu, you are now our starting left tackle for the New York Jets going forward. That is the hope. That is the goal from this season. And I think ultimately that's what's going to happen. I think you maybe get a couple of sightings of Fashanu throughout the year, either with gimmick packages or filling in spot starting for somebody. But hopefully, you are able to see him get a year to learn behind some really, really astute veterans and to get himself prepared for what is going to be a very long and hopefully a very prosperous career for the New York Jets starting at left tackle there. But that was the Jets' first round, and we now sit here heading into day two with both teams still needing, I don't want to say a lot of work, but definitely going to need to pull some things off. The Giants, I think, need to find a quarterback that they can bring in potentially and just start working around with and see what they can get out of him. I think that's always a smart move when you don't have a guy that you're sold on to bring in someone in the middle to late rounds and to work with them a little bit and see what you can't get out of them. On the Jets side, they need to figure out a way to trade into the second round so that they can get a wide receiver. Because if they wait, there's a chance that they don't get anybody that they want in this draft. There's a chance that they don't get anybody that actually fixes their needs. And their needs at wide receiver is not another possession wide receiver. Their needs at wide receiver is not just another guy. They need a guy at wide receiver with speed, who can break vertically, who can stretch defenses out down the field and make big-time plays deep down the field, while drawing safeties to his side and bringing coverage in. Now, the guy was Thomas to do that, but you didn't get him. So now you have to pivot, and you have to make sure that you are able to get the next guy. You cannot allow this draft to go by without bringing in a receiver. You just can't. That, if Joe Douglas allows that to happen, then that in and of itself should get Joe Douglas fired from his job. That won't happen, but I'm just putting it out there. Kind of like the Islanders did last night, or I should say maybe they didn't do last night, when they lost 2-3 to those damn Carolina Hurricanes at UBS. And this one was never close. This was a 2-0 game in the first period. Isles get one early in the second, then the rest of the second is controlled by the Carolina Hurricanes, and I'll sneak in another one, but it just wasn't enough. It was never going to be their night. The crowd got taken out of it immediately. I mean, it felt like everybody was waiting for something bad to happen. And when it did, it just kind of killed the vibes. It just reassured everybody there that this was not going to be their night. And it's sad. It's sad to see, because the Isles really could have been up 2-0 in this series. They get two unfortunate losses on the road that end up tallying up to an insurmountable comeback. And now They're down 3-0 with the opportunity to get swept on their own home ice and for the second straight year get eliminated at UBS. I just got to be honest. I did not see this coming. Wow. Just wow. I guess that's what happens when you push as hard as the Isles did at the end of the season. And you get here, you just run out of gas. But a sweep is something that is completely unexpected. And if I can just be honest, it's a little bit disgraceful for what this team has been able to put out there over the last couple of months. To go out like this is kind of sad. But Patrick Waugh has done a very good job setting the culture here and getting things moving in the right direction again. So I don't doubt that he will continue that, hopefully next season when he comes back. But this team needs a facelift. This organization needs a facelift. And, Mr. Ledecky, you got to get it done. It's got to happen. You can't allow this to go on any further with this franchise. There's just too many good players here. There's too much talent for this team to come up and fail like this every single year. So you either have to hit the button and rebuild now, or you need to get the right people in charge that can make this thing work. It's not an easy thing to do, but nobody said this was easy. That's the world of pro sports. And it ain't easy. And you turn to the Bronx, and they'll show you it ain't easy. Even the Yankees have struggles, and the Yankees' struggles are abysmal. The Yankees lose last night 3-1 to the Oakland A's in a game where they had 11 hits and could not bring anybody home. They started the game off with the bases loaded, getting the first three men on, and what happens? Giancarlo Stanton strikes out, and Rizzo hits into a double play. And now, I have a lot of positivity when it comes to this Yankees lineup. I do, and I got a lot of time for them. But when they do things like they did last night, where they are just constantly hitting into double plays, and they are constantly finding ways to hit themselves or strike themselves or out themselves out of innings, I can't defend it. It's exactly what they've been doing for the last 2, 3, 4 years, especially over the last 2. It's been pathetic, and if this is something that is going to continue to happen, then it's going to be hard for me to defend this team going forward. It's going to be hard for me to feel like this team is different. Because every time I try to give them credit, every time I try to put them over, they come out and they have a game like this where they are just brutal. Where they are just atrocious with men in scoring position. They went 1 of 7 last night. 1 of 7. With the guys on this lineup, with the guys on this roster, that is a joke. And now I know everybody doesn't, it's not all Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and Stanton coming up with with guys in scoring position. But there are just too many talented guys on this roster for the bottom of the roster to be as big of a joke as they've been. And now Jose Trevino gives you a home run last night, so you hope maybe he gets going a little bit. Hip, hip, Jose. But even that, it ain't going to be enough. It ain't going to be enough to change everything. This team is in a very interesting place right now. And splitting a series with the A's, that's not good. That's just not good. You're at home. You got to take all 4. It's the Oakland A's. They don't even play at a major league stadium. Or they're about to not play at a major league stadium. They're going to be in Sacramento playing in a AAA ballpark. They draw less than 4,000 fans to their games. They're trying to lose actively. You cannot let that happen. This lineup is too freaking good. And the pitching that they get should not be held to a standard of getting a 1-0 win. The pitching that they get, Nestor Cortes, what he did last night, he deserved better. And Yankee fans deserve better than what this lineup is putting out there on a consistent basis. And I think you will get better, but let's just give it a little bit of time. And there won't be too much time. The Yankees will be headed out to Milwaukee tonight. They get that series started. The Mets are getting back going tonight. They are at home versus the St. Louis Cardinals. We got Rangers hockey tonight as they get game 3 versus the Capitals down in D.C., Then we have a little NFL draft tonight, rounds 2 and 3. And then I talk to you beautiful people again tomorrow morning, Saturday. So make sure to hit that follow. Make sure to hit that subscribe. Throw me a follow. Throw me some tweets at ZooBeard77. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if I'm crazy for my thoughts on the Sixers and the Knicks. Let me know if I'm crazy in general. But we will talk to you all then. For now, I must bid you all adieu. Enjoy your Friday. Get those drinks in. Enjoy happy hour. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. But for now, I must bid you adieu. Peace.